Welcome back to Whose Crime Is It Anyway? I'm Lisa.
And I'm Shell.
And we're here with another episode of True Crime from the True North. Before we dive in, we want to give a shout out to our listener, Tarek33, who left us an awesome 5-star review. It says, "Lovely gals. Good stories with enough research and interesting details to make you think. Not a gory podcast, but doesn't shy on sad realities of the true crime genre. I've subscribed and recommend it. Thanks so much, Tarek33.
Aw, thank you, Tarek. That's so kind. I love that.
That review, I think, may have been submitted before they listened to the Rock Terrio episode because, I mean, you can't say that that wasn't gory.
I think that was definitely our goriest.
It was our goriest, but speaking of, takes us to today's episode.
It was just like any other workday in Oshawa, Ontario, when a plumber was called to a rental home to fix a clogged drain. But what should have been a quick fix turned into hours. It wasn't about the fact that this was taking so long. It was about what he was pulling out. The unknown substance was so disturbing, the plumber called 911 because he believed what he was pulling out was human flesh. This is the case of Rory Hache and Candace Fitzpatrick. Take it away, girl.
Rory Hache was born on July 9th, 1999. She was 18 years old and grew up in Oshawa, Ontario, a suburb of Toronto, about an hour east on Lake Ontario. Growing up, Rory enjoyed dancing, rapping, helping the elderly, and loved animals. She was extremely kind and was said by her mom to be the kind of person who would split her apple 5 ways if there were 4 people in the room.
Oh, she sounds awesome.
Rory was extremely smart and was a member of the Canadian Cadets, which states from their website is a positive youth development program for Canadians aged 12 to 18. Rory won Cadet of the Year 2 years in a row when she was 12 years old and 13, which is an extremely impressive achievement.
I love that. I have a friend that was in Cadets and it's like cool to see, like, they're in the uniform and they come out. Yeah, it's very cool.
Rory's mom said everything with Rory was easy until her first week of high school, when she fell into the wrong crowd and was offered meth within the first month. This was the beginning of Rory's struggle with addiction, which would cause her to feel shame and eventually led to her living a transient lifestyle and sometimes working in the sex trade to fund her addiction.
Oh my gosh, so young.
Yeah.
And so impressionable at that age too.
But with the help of her family, Rory fought her way out and got clean. She had been clean for 6 months. She had a guidance counselor, got a job, went back to school, had a boyfriend, and was renting out her own apartment. Her future was looking so bright.
Good for her. That is so great. She had a support system.
Yes.
That helped her through it. I love it.
Rory and her mom were extremely close. She was also close with her grandma and her aunt, which I think is also her godmother. I kept reading and seeing clips of her mom's interviews, and it sounded like the godmother and the aunt are kind of one and the same. So she did have an amazing team behind her. Sometime in August 2017, Rory's mom was admitted to the hospital for injuries that she got from an accidental fire at her house. And it was during this time Rory would go missing. On August 29th, 2017, Rory and her mom spoke for the last time. Rory's last movements were tracked down to the next night on August 30th at around 9 p.m. She was seen on video at Lake Ridge Health near downtown Oshawa. She had been taken there by some people, and I'm not sure who they were. I'm assuming that it was probably friends, to help her get treatment for something, and I don't know what that was. But the investigator did not say what it was for, but that he did say that Rory left before even seeing a doctor.
Can we maybe assume that it might have been a relapse or something along those lines?
Very possible. A few days went by when friends from her local community center and her guidance counselor noticed that she hadn't been coming by. So her guidance counselor contacted her family. After not being able to get a hold of her and discovering that no one had heard from her, they reported her missing. Rory was in a really good place in her life and was excited for her future, so this was really unlike her.
So how long had she been missing before they reported her to authorities?
It was only like a couple days.
And this wasn't alarming to her family at all? They just thought that she was out with friends or something like that?
I guess. And it was only because her guidance counselor reported it because her mom was in the hospital. So
still
maybe,
at this time, she was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe her mom didn't have as much contact or she wasn't keeping as close tabs on her because she was probably like not glued to her phone being in the hospital and not well.
Of course. Yeah.
So I guess once they realized like, oh, shit, like, okay, well, let's get a hold of her friends and no one had heard from her. And that's when like, oh, okay, something's wrong. Rory's mom also stated that while she had been in the hospital, Rory confided in her and told her she thought she might have been pregnant. So she gave her money to go buy a test. Rory went and bought a pregnancy test with her aunt, and they went home together. The test was positive.
Oh, okay.
She decided she was going to raise the child and continue with her bright plans for the future, and her mom supported her in that decision.
Do we know who the father was?
No. She did have, allegedly had a boyfriend at the time, so it's possible that it was him. And they apparently had a very solid, good, healthy relationship. So he's never mentioned again in this episode. Like, I think he's not even in the picture for this.
Okay. So at this point, you know, she's actually excited about having the baby and raising it and also continuing with her bright future.
Right. So her mom says that the test was positive. We can only go by what she's saying, so this is just allegedly. Almost 2 weeks later, on September 11th, 2017, an 11-year-old boy and his grandfather were fishing at the Oshawa Harbor when they spotted something floating in the water. When they were able to get close to it, they realized it was a female torso.
Oh my God.
The head, limbs and pelvis and internal organs were missing. It appeared that the body had been deliberately dismembered rather than being caused by decomposition, like the limbs and everything being missing.
Oh my gosh. It's just a horrible thought.
So this was called a homicide, like very quickly. The Durham police immediately started sifting through their system of missing persons reports and began eliminating people based on identifying factors from the torso, such as gender and tattoos. When they narrowed down their list, they were left with a handful of names, and Rory was one of them.
Ugh. Could they tell from the torso that it could have been pregnant, that she could have been pregnant?
At this time, it would have been still early to be
like
showing.
Like, too early to, like, shift bone structure or...
Yeah, like, within, like, a couple... Oh, and the pelvis was missing. That's another thing.
Oh, right. The pelvis... Right. Oh, my gosh. So they would have had no idea.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't tell. Okay. But she was... It would have been considered still too early to tell. 2 days later, they contacted Rory's family, and they were given Rory's DNA for a comparison. Her family waited 2 grueling months.
2 months.
Yeah.
2 months you have to wait.
I know. It was confirmed on November 10th to be the torso of Rory Hache. But what happened?
Yeah, like, okay, so she goes missing. And then how long until this torso turned up? Like, how many days in between?
It would have been 12 or 13 days, almost 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
Investigators were working hard but hitting a wall with any potential leads. Until a month later, on the night of December 29th, 2017, when they received a 911 call from a plumber who was at a house cleaning someone's clogged pipes. The plumber said he went to a call to a rental house near downtown Oshawa by the upstairs tenants. After inspecting their pipes, he realized that he needed to go to the root of the pipes, which were in the basement suite downstairs. So he knocked on the basement tenant's door, and an overweight, middle-aged man named Adam Strong answered the door. He had been renting the basement suite for over 10 years. The plumber said the suite had a putrid stench and that it was extremely messy and overcrowded with garbage. And I've seen the footage, and like, we're talking full on hoarder garbage, as if he had never taken the garbage out.
Okay, I'm sorry, that already raises red flags for me, like right away.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Garbage was piled on every counter, every surface. You could barely walk through it.
Oh my God, and this plumber like walking into that being like, oh, great. Like, fantastic.
Now I gotta snake your fucking pipes? Like, cool.
Ugh.
So the plumber made his way through, and when he went to the bathroom, he saw that the toilet had been completely removed, which he thought was odd. Like, where the fuck is this guy going to the bathroom then?
What is he doing? Where is he doing his business? Like, exactly. Where is the toilet?
So weird. But he said also Adam's behavior was super weird. Like, he was staying super close and hovering over him while he worked. And he was finally able to reach the clog through the kitchen sink and began pulling stuff out. But it was nothing like he had ever seen before. He described it as a stringy, flesh-like substance with pieces of hair.
Oh my God.
As he was putting it into plastic bags, Adam speaks up and says, quote, "That's so gross. What in the world is that?"
Okay, Adam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The plumber was getting super weird vibes from Adam.
I would too.
It dawned on him that this could be flesh. But he didn't know what to do because Adam was hovering over him, so he just kind of kept pulling it out. Finally, after 3 or 4 hours, this plumber had bagged almost 15 pounds of this fleshy substance.
Oh my God, it actually makes me queasy.
So he's like, okay, this is fucked. I need to call my boss.
100%. I'm not paid enough to do this. Like, get me out of here.
So he goes outside and privately calls his boss to ask him, like, should I be calling the police? And his boss was like, yeah, call 911 right now. And we have that call.
I'm a plumber and I'm on site for a job. We got we're snaking a drain, and we've been pulling back. We probably pulled back about 10 pounds, 15 pounds of, like, it looks like flesh type of stuff. Meat.
Meat. He says the word meat.
Oh my God! Like, also, it's probably like you wish that it's just meat. Like, you hope that it is, and you hope that it's not human, because that would make it infinitely worse. And also to know that you spent 3 to 4 hours in the house of someone who has human flesh in their pipes is like maybe like the scariest thing ever, because the plumber could have easily been the next victim.
Exactly. When the police arrived, the plumber showed them what was in the plastic bags. So they went down to Adam's suite and knocked on his door. When he answered, the cop just asked him simply, hey, what have you been flushing down the toilet that you shouldn't have? And according to the officer, Adam lowers his head and says, quote, okay, you got me. The gig's up. It's a body.
What? Oh my God.
When Adam is escorted to the back of the police car, Adam says, quote, I want to spill the beans. So the officer read him his rights to obtain legal counsel and that whatever he says going forward may be used against him. So then Adam then responds, quote, if you want to recover the rest of her, it's in my freezer.
Oh my fucking God.
Like, was he trying to get caught? Like, why is he just offering up all this information?
Well, maybe. Maybe he's just like, well, fuck. I'm done. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Again, though, I really do feel like the plumber could have easily been the next victim.
I mean, the people upstairs knew that this plumber was coming to the house to check the pipes.
Sure. So maybe it would have been harder to, like,
cover it up.
But I mean, I'm surprised that he didn't do something like make some kind of excuse for him to like not come in, or be like, no, you can't enter my residence, or put up some kind of fight. Mm-hmm, like he literally just stood there while, like,
ew, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, like literally just stood there while he was like pulling it out of the pipes.
Oh my god, he knew he was screwed.
100%.
When Adam's suite was searched, they found his freezer in his bedroom. It was like a freezer box, like a deep freeze. And when they opened the freezer, they found multiple plastic bags containing limbs that had been skinned. But worst of all, they found the pelvis and the head of Rory Hashay.
Ugh, poor Rory. Oh my gosh. I know.
Also during their search, they found a scary-looking hunting knife that looks to me like a foot and a half long. And it's actually in a photo from Adam's like Facebook or something, and he's taking like a selfie with it. Like he loves his fucking knife. They also found sex toys and a spreader bar, which is used in bondage, and an autopsy table behind his couch.
Oh my god, this is so disturbing on
it's
so many
so
levels.
So disturbing.
Like, it is, yeah. No, I cannot. And I'm just thinking of this house with like piles of garbage and then having a fucking autopsy table behind the couch. Like, give me a fucking break.
Rory's shoes were found in a plastic bag with large amounts of her blood on them. And her blood was found throughout his suite, including the kitchen and his bedroom floor, wall, and ceiling. Investigators also went through his online search history and found searches for, quote, gore sites that depicted death, dismemberment, and people being sexually abused. They also found an undetonated pipe bomb.
What?
A fucking pipe? Like, what the fuck are you doing with a pipe bomb?
And what was he gonna use it
for?
What
the fuck are you losing? You're a loser.
Also,
you're a
I'm
loser.
Sorry.
Loser.
What? Okay. How is he living in this place? How are, like, he's just a tenant living in this place.
Mm-hmm.
As landlords or, like, owners, how are you letting this guy live in your residence?
That's what I'm kind of confused about, because the reason why I know what the inside looked like wasn't from the investigators' footage released. It was actually from, apparently, 2015. So just a couple years before this happened, his landlord showed up and they were pissed off about the condition that his suite was in.
Yeah, no shit.
And they're videotaping his suite saying like, oh, they're in absolute shock. Like, oh my fucking God. Like, this is ridiculous. And so I don't know why he wasn't evicted. Maybe they had an agreement. Like, you need to clean your shit up or you're evicted.
There would be a no or for me.
Oh, yeah.
If I saw someone treating my place of residence that way.
Like a junkyard.
Literally out. Get out.
And it's a fucking fire hazard, too. Like, this is
100% fire hazard. Also, I'm sorry, but, like, probably has a very intense mental condition. Like, hoarders are notoriously, like, have other issues, right? Like, hoarding is a, like, comfort for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, I would just be asking so many questions. Mm-hmm. And I just don't understand how this guy was living in, like, a rental unit in that state.
For that long, yeah.
For that long. Like, it took the pipes being clogged for them to call a plumber to figure out that this guy, like, why wouldn't you evict him? Two years.
I know.
You wouldn't have done another check? Like, why wouldn't they have checked in on him?
I know.
And
I
been
have
like,
no idea.
Okay, you have like 1 month to clean this place up and I'm going to come check in 1 month. Like, are you
Who
just.
Knows? Maybe.
What?
The mess that I saw was allegedly from the landlord's phone in 2015. So maybe it was a little bit cleaner at this
I
time.
Highly I doubt it. With
why am I giving him the benefit of the fucking
why?
Doubt here?
What are you
why
doing?
Why am I doing this?
Why
no,
are
this
you
is
doing
stupid.
This? No. And no. Also from the plumber's testimony, like he walked in there and it was a fucking pigsty. So
putrid. Putrid.
No change. No change had happened.
No.
If anything, it was worse.
Probably. After 25 days, the forensic team finally concluded their search. And just as a side note here, not long after that search had been concluded, within a month, that rental unit was already listed again.
Oh my God.
By the landlord.
I would never.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no. Hell to the No. What's that song? I'm gonna plug it in.
I don't know.
Hell to the No. Actually, Rory's family have protested in front of this house and they want it torn down.
Fair.
It's very fair, but I think that because...
I mean, maybe not the whole house, but
no,
like,
I know.
Definitely this rental unit needs to be like burned.
Yeah.
Like, I just would never... I know, I'm sure all of his stuff is out, they've cleaned it, whatever, but like no amount of cleaning...
I know.
...can get rid of the stench of this man.
No.
He's awful.
No, he's the worst. Rory's autopsy report stated that she had 2 skull fractures and multiple blunt force injuries to her face by a hard object such as a hammer. They determined that these injuries occurred prior to her death and that the dismemberment occurred afterwards. The forensic pathologist also stated that she was, quote, methodically dismembered and that flesh and muscle had been stripped away from her limbs. So I'm assuming that's what was being flushed down the toilet.
Oh my God.
The cause of her death could not be determined because of the state of her body and because they never recovered her internal organs. However, it was believed that there was a, quote, bloodletting event in Adam's bedroom based on the amount of blood found on that spreader bar, which may indicate that Rory was being restrained at the time of her murder.
Oh, I hate this so much. Like, I just hate everything about it.
So, who the fuck is Adam Strong?
Yeah,
who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck is he? And, like, to be honest, do I care? No, but, like, fuck, man. Why?
Adam paints a picture of a really troubled childhood, blaming his actions for not being nurtured enough. He said, quote, I have all the characteristics of a serial killer, like killing small animals. I loved killing woodpeckers for some reason. And he also claimed that he was raped by his female babysitter when he was just 4 years old.
Okay, I mean, that is tragic, if that's true, but yeah. I cannot roll my eyes harder at the fact that he's like, oh, I like to kill animals. I have all the traits of a serial killer.
Right.
Like, okay, again, we've said this before on podcasts. There are plenty of human beings who have been victims of abuse and they have grown up in troubled homes, mm-hmm. and they do not turn out to be murderers.
No.
Like, again,
you are a psychopath.
It's not an excuse to take a life. It's, you know, we can look back at the history and say, okay, there are some indicators, some red flags, put on bad paths, going down this, like, obviously the wrong journey because mm-hmm. of XYZ. It does not mean that it makes you a murderer.
Mm-mm. Adam was 46 years old, worked at a gas station, and didn't really have a ton of friends, let alone family. Something he was extremely open about and almost proud about during his interrogations was his BDSM lifestyle. When asked about handcuffs found in his suite, he boasted about participating in dom and sub relationships and playing the role of the dominant. He also had restraints and even a dog collar. Now, there's absolutely no shaming here at all about BDSM, but this is where I see a problem. 5 witnesses would go on to testify that they were either paid for sex by Adam or were ex-girlfriends. One of his ex-girlfriends testified that Adam was not aggressive at the beginning, but as time went on, he began watching gruesome videos online of people dying, and he became controlling and physically abusive. During sex, he would choke her until she was unconscious, and eventually the word no didn't even mean anything to him anymore. But it wasn't just in bed. She also described times where he would come up to her out of nowhere in a non-sexual context and just choke her unconscious.
Oh my God. And she didn't report this?
No. From what I gather, at least one of them was struggling with drug addiction as well and worked in the sex trade. So I think one of them said that they weren't really in it for the relationship. They were there because it was a roof over their head.
Yeah, that's right? Totally fair. Oh my gosh. And he's just taking advantage.
Yes.
Of their situation, which yeah. just, he's an awful human being.
Two of the sex workers testified that he choked them, and when they attempted to leave, he blocked them from leaving. So now that we've painted a pretty picture of who this monster is, let's jump into the interrogation. We only have snippets from the interrogation room, but right off the bat, it's clear that Adam is not scared, he's not stressed. In fact, he's extremely upbeat and chatty, and almost seems pleased to be talking with the officer. Like, he's, like, thinking this is really cool that someone's paying attention to him and wanting to talk to him.
Like, boasting about it? Like, it's an accomplishment?
Kind of.
Ugh.
Like, he has all this information and, you know, he's kind of got the upper hand and he feels really proud of that.
Adam, how you doing?
Good, you?
Meh, had better days.
Do you see how upset I am?
No. You're pretty calm. Under yeah. circumstances that, I'm a little concerned how calm you are.
There's no way you're getting around that I chopped her up. There's no way. Okay. And I understand that.
We were wondering if you chopped her up.
It's obvious that I did, yeah.
Yeah, and if again, if not for... Apparently the plumbing was all f***ed up in that house. That aided in...
My capture?
And your capture.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I was sitting down in my basement after the plumbers left, and I was like, am I going to get out of this? I don't know. Should I leave now?
He is sounds awful.
He's the worst.
Already. It just sounds
right? so,
like,
so arrogant.
So arrogant. And just no remorse, no feelings at all for this human life that he took.
It was all done in one evening.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this was all one piece, and then this was all one piece.
I couldn't, yeah. Really? Sorry, man, I don't remember.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't important to me, man.
She's definitely deceased.
Yes.
Yes. And you clearly have said, yeah, and I disposed of her.
Yes.
Yes.
Tried to. But unfortunately, was foiled by
yep.
inadequate plumbing.
Yep.
And that's a freaking shame. Not for me. For me.
Yeah, for you. Yeah. 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 You sound really selfish when you say that.
Sorry.
Holy fuck. So the only reason he got caught was because of shitty plumbing. And he's like, and that's really shitty. That's shitty for me. Not for you. No, I'm talking about me. It's shitty for me.
Oh my God. Like, he is awful.
I actually hate the way he's talking about this.
Awful. And yeah, like, oh, if it wasn't for the stupid pipes, the stupid clogged pipes, then I would have got away with it.
Mm-hmm. He's just so fucking cocky, and he sounds like he feels cool or something.
Yeah, like he's talking to this interrogator like it's a bro.
Yeah, totally.
Like bragging to my bro about whatever. Like it's, oh my God, so sick.
Right when you think he can't get any more selfish, he blows them away. He has the audacity to demand a fucking feast from Wendy's in exchange for giving them the information. You have to hear this. You have to fucking hear this.
Oh my God. A feast from Wendy's, and then I'll tell you more.
What are you going to hanker him for?
Wendy's triple.
Yeah, that's doable.
No pickles. Iced tea, no ice. Two, their value, spicy chicken wraps, and a grilled chicken Caesar salad.
Okay.
Is that outrageous?
No, that's doable.
Is there any way I can get a cigarette?
Anyway,
focus this. And a ranch and a Caesar? Oh my God, thank you.
I don't know how appropriate this is, but I'd like you to pass on to her mother and her father my condolences.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Like, what are the cops thinking at this point? Like, I'm just sort of like, do they just entertain it because
apparently
like they want the information, but it's like, it's so ridiculous.
Well, the interrogation, this specific one, has been praised actually for the way that this cop creates this rapport with him.
Totally.
You know, you can tell by the way he's talking. He just like thinks that they're fucking buddies.
Like I said, it's like they're bros and they're just like shooting the shit.
An iced tea with no ice. No pickles?
No
you
pickles?
Fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Who are you?
Like, suck my dick. Are you fucking kidding me? Is that outrageous? Does that sound outrageous? Actually, this is right up there with Cody bullshit.
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. Like, he's just a total fucking narcissist.
Oh yeah. And not only that, he said that he wanted to be as comfortable as he could be in jail and had a few more requests.
I would like to, and I feel with this to my lawyer, and he's not interested in it, and I don't understand why, spilling the beans and being as comfortable as I can in jail. Not like $100,000 like Picton, but like an allowance. I don't know. Like internet access, like a TV. Like, I don't have anybody who's going to buy me a TV. I don't expect to get out of jail free card. I don't. I just want to be comfortable in jail, man.
He wants to be comfortable in jail. Not like $100,000, but like
Picton. He compared it to Picton.
Oh my God. He wants an allowance. What else did he say? A TV?
He wants a TV, internet access.
Wi-Fi. Oh my God. Who the fuck is this guy?
And like the interrogator like can't help it, but he's just like silent. He doesn't know, like, I think that that's a point where he's just kind of like, oh my fucking God, are you kidding me? Because he kind of just like keeps blabbing, and you can hear that he's just like, well, not like Picton. I don't want like $100,000 or anything, but like, you know, I just want to be comfortable.
Oh my God. Not a jail, get out of jail free card, but like, you know, God. I just want to be comfortable in jail.
This piece of shit did not care.
No.
He didn't feel bad.
No.
He didn't feel remorse. And he said so himself.
Some people are remorseful.
He just said, I didn't feel it, to be honest. Sorry. I didn't feel remorse.
This guy is a complete bag of shit.
Oh, God. And when the interrogator told Adam that Rory was believed to be pregnant at the time, Adam rejected and said, quote, she was not pregnant. I don't want to go into how I know, but I know. I could bet my life.
And she tested positive, so she was pregnant, you fucking tool.
Obviously, there was no, like, records to prove in the system that she was, but her family, like, her aunt was with her. She told her mom. They say she was pregnant. And also, like, what the fuck does he know about early pregnancy, you piece of shit?
Yeah, like, get fucked. Oh, I'm so over him. Ew. Go to jail.
Adam then admitted that the dismemberment occurred on Christmas, because he knew his neighbors upstairs were away. After the forensics results came back from searching his basement, police made an announcement that they had discovered an unknown DNA profile of a second female. The DNA was found on that large hunting knife and in his freezer, but they never found any body parts belonging to this second victim. On July 10th, 2018, they learned that the DNA belonged to an 18-year-old female who had gone missing almost 10 years prior in March of 2008. Her name was Candace Fitzpatrick.
Oh my God. So, you know, I was going to say, I feel like this isn't his first offense.
Mm-mm.
Like, in my opinion, this guy is a total bag of shit. Mm-hmm. We know this. He is like full-blown narcissist,
mm-hmm.
has so many just awful tendencies. I am not surprised if there was another. More victims. Yes. Yeah.
Candace was also from the Oshawa area and struggled with drug addiction. She too, at times, resorted to sex work in order to fund her addiction. Candace's dad said she had a big heart and loved everyone. Candace was last seen leaving their home to go to the mall in March of 2008, but she wasn't reported missing until 2 years later. Her family says she had a transient lifestyle, and it wasn't unusual for her to not be in touch with them for weeks at a time. You might wonder how weeks turned into 2 years, but that's not for us to judge. While Adam was waiting for his upcoming trial for Rory's murder, they sat down and told him that they had found Candace's blood in his freezer and on his hunting knife. His response? "That's the procrastination factor that fucked me. All I had to do was boil the knife. DNA doesn't work once it's cooked." And just to clarify, neither of these girls had any known ties to each other or to Adam.
Do we know where he encountered them? Was it paying for sex, do we think?
It was brought up at the trial that it's possible that he was paying them for sex. I think that it was like an opportunity. So I looked at
them. Or crime of opportunity. Yeah. Exactly.
I looked at a map of the area.
Mm-hmm.
And that health center where Rory was seen leaving, where she didn't receive treatment, was within the area of downtown Oshawa, which was, this is kind of like a grid. So looking at this map, that health center was maybe about a 15-minute walk from Adam's house.
Okay.
Very close. Like a
very close
a
in
two
the area.
Minute drive, it said. 2 minute drive. Mm-hmm. So very, very close. And there is a park in between the health center and Adam's house called Memorial Park. And this was a park that was a place where Rory and apparently Candace frequented. So I'm thinking possibly they were hanging out in this park. Maybe Rory left the health center and went to just go hang out in this park. Whether she was relapsing or not, he came across them maybe there, and that's where he enticed them to come back to his place for money. Like you said earlier, maybe she was having a relapse and she just wanted more money for drugs, and he offered her that money.
Yep.
2 years later, and now we're at the trial with a bench trial. So there would be no jury, only the judge. Adam was being charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder of Rory Hache and Candace Fitzpatrick. Surprisingly, Adam pled not guilty. Even though he fully admitted to dismembering the teens, he never admitted to killing them. With all that fucking talking he loved to do, when it came down to the question of how they died, he denied it was his doing. Adam's defense attorney suggested that the girls had overdosed and that Adam just panicked. Which, looking at it that way, could have been possible, but had it not been for Rory's head injuries, like, you were hurting her.
100%. There's no excuse. Like, this is total bullshit.
No, there's proof. Like, you were hitting her.
Yes.
So no, that's not what happened. But I'm also unsure if there were available toxicology reports to determine if an overdose was possible, like what was in their system at the time, like what, I mean, with Candace, we really don't know because all we have are traces of her DNA. But for Rory, with the body parts that they had, there were no reports stated that they did a toxicology report.
Mm-hmm.
The defense even made an effort to try and have Adam's first admissions to police that, you know, it's a body in my freezer or in the pipes. They wanted to make it inadmissible because he hadn't been given proper access to legal counsel first. But when those cops knocked on his door, Adam wasn't under arrest. They just wanted to know what he was flushing down the toilet. So his admissions were made voluntarily to the police before he was even arrested. So thankfully, the judge allowed it.
Amazing. Yeah. Like,
fuck off.
Fuck right off. Oh my God, this guy.
The Crown believed that the murders took place either during sexual assaults or when they were being held against their will. On March 16th, 2021, Adam Strong was found guilty of first-degree murder of Rory Hache and manslaughter for the death of Candace Fitzpatrick, both to be served at the same time. Because Candace's remains were never found, they couldn't prove without a reasonable doubt that he had murdered her. But we know he did.
We know.
He was finally sentenced on May 27th, 2021, to 25 years in prison with no eligibility for parole for 25 years. The judge stated that it was clear that rehabilitation could never be possible and stated that we can expect he will never get out of prison. His final words to Adam, "You may never be capable of feeling the damage you have caused. You are a dangerous predator. You decided to feed your selfish desires, and in doing so, you took two vulnerable lives. Your moment before us is done. But from here, you will go to prison. You will never be seen in public again. In time, you will be forgotten. You will neither be famous nor infamous. You will simply be gone."
Wow.
Oof.
Mic drop.
Rory and Candace's family were over the moon with the judge's sentencing and closing statement. Even though Candace's family will never know where her remains are, they, along with Rory's family, can at least go to bed knowing that their daughters were given justice, and that this grotesque pig will rot in jail for the rest of his life. And I sure as shit hope he doesn't have his precious TV and internet in there.
Yeah, hell no. All, like, nothing. Hope he has just nothing.
No.
No
all
allowance.
Of this is just a hell to the no.
No Wendy's. You're never having Wendy's again, motherfucker.
You ain't getting that fucking iced tea with no ice. Ugh.
Who orders that?
Oh my God.
Murderers.
And with that, we are no longer wondering, whose crime is it anyway?
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Whose Crime Is It Anyway? We will be back soon with a brand new case. Until then, follow us on Instagram at Whose Crime Podcast and on Twitter at Whose Crime Pod. And if you would like to support our show, you can donate at buymeacoffee.com/whosecrimepod.
And also, feel free to head over to Spotify and give us a 5-star review now that they're doing ratings.
Yes, 5 stars on Spotify. Please and thank you. Bye.
Toodles.
Bad you in the jail, brother man, cause you were sure headed for the cemetery. After fight, there's an old saying that a hard head make a soft behind. Yeah, yeah. Well, since you did the crime, don't do the time, stop the baby crying. Hell no, to the no, no, no. Hell to the no, hell to the no, 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 no. Hell no, no, to the no, no. Hell to the no, no.